Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Dalid. We are holding on Daf Nun Gimel and Beis. We are all the way back at the Mishnah on Nun Gimel and Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored in memory of Menachem Ben Sholem's 41st yard site by his son, Noach Schwartz, a regular online participant from Borough Park. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Also by Rabbi Tzvi Sabalovsky Shul, Congregation Or HaTorah, in honor of the launch of their 48-hour building fund campaign on June 6th and 7th. If you'd like to support Rabbi Sabalovsky's Arbatzis HaTorah, please visit charity.com/Or HaTorah. The site is live now. So thank you very much to all the sponsors for these sponsorships. So again, we're holding at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to continue with the next Avodos, how we dealt with the Dam HaPar and the Shechita Sasayir, and then the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the Machlokas, whether the Aron was hidden away or was taken away during the Tkufas Bayasheni. The Gemara is going to discuss the meaning of the phrase Ad Hayom Hazeh. Does Ad Hayom Hazeh mean literally Ad Hayom Hazeh? Does it just mean for some extended period of time? Then we're going to have a variety of episodes where it seems that they came very close to rediscovering, to finding the Aron. The Gemara is then going to discuss the appearance of the Badim, as it would appear through the curtain as you'd see it from the side of the Heichal, because the Badim would protrude through the curtain. Then the Gemara is going to discuss rolling up the Parochas. It was either how they would do that in either the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash, in order that people can see Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom, so people could see how beloved they are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'd get a glimpse at the Kruvim. The Gemara is going to discuss how during the Churban HaBayis, the Goyim mocked the Kruvim and the position that they were in. And then the Gemara is going to talk about in Amud Beis where the creation of the world began, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu went about creating the world, from which location he went about creating the world. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Nun Gimel and Beis. So during Bayis Rishon, the Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Kohen Gadol would put the Machta with the coals and the Ketores Bein Shnei Habadim, between the two Badei Aron. What about the Tkufas Bayis Sheni, where there was no Aron in the Kodesh HaKadosh? First of all, just the assumption, there was no Aron in the Kodesh HaKadosh during Bayis Sheni. Why didn't they make one? Meaning, if any other Kli gets lost, they would just replace the Kli. They would make another Kli. Why didn't they make a replacement Aron during Bayis Sheni, especially if it was taken off site, so it wasn't even around? Minchas Chinuch discusses this in Mitzvah Tzadihei Os Aleph, and he says, well, making an Aron is not ma'akev the Mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, even though it's one of the Dinei Mitzvah, and there's no din of making an Aron independent of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the Aron was to house the Luchos and the Aseres HaDibros, and in the days of Yoshiyahu, the Aron was Nignas with the Luchos in it. So there are no longer luchos to put in the Aron. If there are no luchos to put in the Aron, what do you need an Aron for? Meaning the whole purpose, the only other reason you would need it is if it's ma'akiv the binyan amigdash, but it's not ma'akiv the binyan amigdash. So mainly there was no need to make another Aron. So anyway, so it says the Mishnah, Mishanital Aron Evanoy Sasham, when the Aron was taken away, there was an Evan that was, the Evan was there even before the Aron was taken away. The Evan, the Tosefta says, was the base upon which the Aron rested. So the Chasdi David raises the question, wait a second, we're about to say that he places the shovel down of the coals on the Evan, but if the Evan was the basis for the Aron, then and we said in the last Mishnah that he would put the shovel down Bein Shnei Abadim, and we said, and even in the Bayis Sheni, it was Bimakom Bein Shnei Abadim, was in the place that would be Bein Shnei Abadim. Well, wait a second, if the Evan was the place where the Aron sat, then that's not Bein Shnei Abadim. Bein Shnei Abadim would be just outside of that Evan. So the Chasid David says the Evan was larger than the Aron. So the Evan both included a space where the Aron rested, and then the outer portion of the Evan was would protrude beyond where the Aron rested, and that was the area of Bein Shnei Abadim. So anyway, so Mishnita Aron Evan Isa Shami Mosavim Rishon Mishsiya Haisanik. This Evan is called the Evan Shia. Gavom in Arad Shalosh Etzba'os, and it was three Etzba'os high off the ground. Va'aleh, you know, say, and that's where he would put the shovel with the Ketores on that Evan. So now that he finished the Aktaras HaKetores, Natal Sadam, the Kohen Gadol will go back out to the Azara. He would take the cup that had the dam from the par that he had already shechted, mimishayim marispo, from the guy that was mixing it to make sure it doesn't congeal, nichlas l'makom shenichlas, he'd go with that dam and go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and va'amad b'makom shamad, and he would stand exactly bein shnei badei aron, in exactly the spot that he was standing before when he was maktir the ketores. So the reason the Tana, the Siach Yisro explains, the reason the Tana doesn't specify that he would stand bein abadim, it just says makom sha'amad, is because the Beis Hamikdash Sheni there was no Aron, in order that it shouldn't have to say that in the Mikdash Rishon he would be omed bein abadim mamish, in Mikdash Sheni he would be omed kineged makom bein abadim. So in order not to have to repeat the whole thing of where this was, just makom sha'amad, wherever he was the first time he went in, Mikdash Rishon kil chasa, Mikdash Sheni kil chasa, wherever he was the first time he went in. V'hiza mimenu, when he would sprinkle from there, k'neged ha-kapores, not al-gag ha-kapores, but k'neged ha-kapores, achas l'mayla, once in an upward motion, v'sheva l'mata, and seven times in a downward motion, v'loyim miskavin l'hazos lo l'mala v'lo l'mata. He wasn't trying to aim the blood on a particular higher portion or lower portion, ela k'masaf. It would go in a straight line, going down. The eight sprinklings of dam would go in a straight line down. V'kach ha-yamona, and he would count them. Achas, that's in the one in the upward, then achas v'achas, in addition to the one that was upward, the first one downward. Achas v'shaim, second one downward. Achas v'shalosh, achas v'yarba, achas v'chamish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva. And then Yatza, he exited the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'nichal kanazav shebeheichal, and he placed the cup of dam on a stand that was in the, a golden stand that was in the heichal. So now, after he finishes with the dam hapar, and he went out from the heichal to the, from the Heichal to the Azara to Beinu Ulam v'Lamizbeach, which is where they would shecht the par, Hevilo as a Sa'ir. They brought him the Sa'ir, meaning the Sa'ir LaHashem, which up until now was standing in the eastern side of the Azara, where they did the Gorol. So Shchato, now he had to shecht the Sa'ir LaHashem, V'kibol Mizrukas Damon, he would catch the Dam, V'nichlas Makom Shenichlas, V'makom Shamar, and he'd go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he would stand in the exact same spot, V'hi Zemimenu, Achas Maila V'shev L'mat, V'kach HaYimona, Achas, 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 V'shtayim, V'chulei, all the way until Achas V'sheva, now with the dam of the Sa'ir. The Mi'iri writes, well, wait a second, it says that he shechted the Sa'ir. Now, we didn't have that by the Karmat Tamid on Daf Lamed Aleph. We said he would partially shecht, and then someone else would be Mesayim the Shechita al Yado. So the Mi'iri explains, yeah, but the Sa'ir is such a tiny animal, such a small neck, it was really not a big deal for him to finish the Shechita. We didn't want to be Matriyachim to shecht the Karmat Tamid. So someone else would be Mesayim the Shechita al Yado. Aye, by the Shechita's Par Kohen Gadol that we learned about in Daf Mem Gimel, it doesn't mention that there was another Kohen that was Gomer the Shechita, and a par is a huge animal. It's got a very big neck. So there must be, says the Meiri, that there was someone who finished that job. Or you could say that both the Seer and the Par, someone finished the job, just like by the Karban Tamid. We just don't have to mention it, because we already mentioned by the Karban Tamid, he would only get the Shechita started off. However, the Tiferes Yisrael explains in the Mishnah is that the reason by Shechitas Apar and Sa'ir it doesn't mention anyone helping him is because those were Avodos Hayom of Yom HaKippurim. And Avodos Hayom of Yom HaKippurim has to be done dafka by the Kohen Gadol without any help. By the Shechita, the Karmat Tamid, that was something that was done every day. So someone else can help him finish off the Shechita. But by Karbanos that are unique to Yom HaKippurim, no one else can help him finish off the Shechita. He's got to do that all by himself. So Yatzav Yinichol Kanasav Sheni Shebeheichol. Then he would go out with the Dama Sa'ir and he would put it on a second golden stand that was outside in the Heichal. Rabbi Yudom, lo yisham el kan echad bilvad. No, there were no two stands to put the blood on. There was only one. So natal dam hapar v'iniach dam hasayir. If he wanted to put the dam hasayir down, he had to take off the dam hapar. And then, and that's what he did. He exchanged it. He took off the dam hapar to put the dam hasayir down. V'izim menu al procha shekenegel arum v'chutz. And then he started sprinkling from the dam hapar on the outer portion of the parochas that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the outside. Achas l'mayla v'shev l'mayta v'loa yem eskavim kacha yemona, and the same process, once up, seven down, achas, achas, yachas, achas v'shayim, etc. Notal damasayir v'niach damapar. Then he took the damasayir and he put back the damapar v'izim mimenu al ha-brochas, and he took the damasayir and sprinkled that on the brochas shekeneged aron mibachutz. Achas l'mayla v'shev l'mayta v'chulei achas, 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 the whole story again, but this time with the dam hasayir on the outside of the parochas. Then, now that he did all the sprinklings he needs to do, he sprinkled the damapar on the inside, he sprinkled the damasayer on the inside, the damapar on the outside, the damasayer on the outside. So now he's still got some blood left. Ira damapar l'toch damasayer. He'd mix in the damapar together with the damasayer. Menasinas hamalei berekan. So now he had one empty kli because he emptied the damapar out of its kli. So he'd put the full kli inside the empty kli. He'd double up the cup so that it could both together they could stay on the stand for a while because then they're now like a single cup. So says the Gemara, Mishenignas lo katani el mishenital. Notice that our Mishnah does not talk about when the Aron was nignas, it talks about when the Aron was nital. So Tanan, Kamandi Amar, our Mishnah seems to be assuming that Aron galul Babel, that the Aron was taken off site of the Beis HaMikdash, that it went into galus Babel. It was not hidden on site. The Tanir, Blazer Omar, Aron galul Babel, Shemar, L'chubes HaShad, Shalach HaMelech, Nebuchadnezzar, Reviyahu, Bavela, Im Klei Chemdas Beis HaShem. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Aron galul the Babel. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that the Aron went into galus Babel. Shemar, because the Pasuk says, when Yoshiyahu Navi in his Nevuah to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when he was telling him in that young Bayim, and he says, Lo Yivaser Dover Omer HaShem. Elo Asaris Hadibros Shebo. Lo Yivaser Dover, nothing is going to remain. Dover is referring to the Asaris Hadibros, that's not going to remain. That's going to go into galus as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aron Bimakom HaNignas. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, the Aron stayed on site in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was just Nignas, it was hidden away. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, by the Bayis Rishon, Pasuk says, Vayir Rashi Abadim min HaKodesh al Pnei Advir, Vayiro Echutza, Vayu Sham Ad Hayom Azeh. So what does Ad Hayom Azeh mean? That it's still there, so it must be that it was Nignas Bimakomo. Upliga Du'ula. Now that suggestion that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that the Aron was Galul Babel is against Ula's understanding of what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai held. Damar Ula Shal Rabbi Masi ben Charish is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Masi ben Charish asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Beromi v'chimiachas Shablaz Melamdenu Pam Rishona Ushnia Aron Galul Babel, that from two different pesukim he taught us that the Aron was Galul Babel. Rishona Hadi Amaron, the first pasuk we said Vayivya Babelim Klechem Daspeis Hashem. Shnia Ma'hi, where's the second pasuk that tells us the Aron went to Babel? Dichsir Vayetei Mibas Tzion Kol Hadara, that from Bastion went out Kol Hadara, my Kol Hadara. What does Kol Hadara mean? It means Chadra. It means that which was hidden bechadre Chadarim, the Aron, which is hidden away in the Kodesh Kadashim, that also went out of Yerushalayim. So Ata Ma'ata Omer. So he finishes the question. He says, since we have someone that taught us two different psukim that tell us that the Aron went into Galus Babel, Nu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, what do you say? So Amalo, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai responds, Shani Omer, Aron b'mekom nignas. No, I don't think it went into Babel. I think that the Aron was nignas b'mekom. Shenemar, Vayarichu abadim, and v'chule, the end of the pasuk is Ad hayom hazeh, Vayusham Ad hayom hazeh. So based on the Ad hayom hazeh, we see that the Aron did not go into Galus Babel. It stayed on premises. So we have two versions of what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai held happened with the Aron. So now, Amalei Rabbi Liula, my mashma, how do you see from the Vayarichu abadim that the Aron was nignas b'makomo, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai used that as a source, d'chsiv, because you got to read the end of the pasuk. Vayusham ad yom hazeh. Ad yom hazeh sounds like it's still there. So you see that it was nignas b'makomo. Says the Gemara, is that what ad yom hazeh means? That ad yom hazeh literally means up until this very day? V'kalhecha d'chsiv ad yom hazeh li'olam hu? Anytime it says ad yom hazeh, does that really mean forever, throughout all the generations? V'haksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say, by kibush ha'aretz, v'sei yavus yoshiv Yerushalayim, lo horishu b'nei binyamin, v'yeshiv ha'yavusiyas b'nei binyamin Yerushalayim, Ad Yom Hazeh. So Achinami, you're going to say over here that Ad Yom Hazeh means forever, Delo Galu, that the Yevusi and the Bnei Binyamin never left Yerushalayim. The Yevusi, you go to Yerushalayim today, you'll find the Yevusi and the Bnei Binyamin. It's not true, Vatanya. The Brisa tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamishu Mushtayim Shana, Lo avar ish b'Yehuda. There was a period of 52 years from the time of Chorban Yerushalayim until Koresh gave Rishus to build the Beis HaMikdash where there is nobody in Yehuda. Shenemar ala harim es ha-bechi v'nehi v'al no'os mid-barkina ki nitzu mi-bli ish over v'lo shamu kol mikne me'ofa shemayim bad behema nadu olchu, that Yirmiyahu was mekonein on the Chorban of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and he said that everything was desolate because of the Chorban. there was nothing there. Nobody was going there. So don't tell me the Yevusi and Binyamin were there throughout all the generations. They weren't. Nobody was there. So the Behema Begematria Chamishon Shayim Havu. How do I know that it was 52 years? It's based on the word that it's used. Behema is Gematria 52. So that's 52 years that nobody was there. Vitanya, and furthermore, the Brisa tells us, another Brisa tells us, that Eretz Yisrael was completely desolate. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Sheva Shanim Neskaima, Gofres V'melach, that there, the Klola, that the Tochacha tells us, of Gofres V'melach, Shrefa Kalartza, is for 7 years, that was fulfilled by Eretz Yisrael. V'omer Rabbi Yochum, my time is Rabbi Yossi. Where does Rabbi Yossi know that it lasted for 7 years? Asya Bris Bris, it's Gzeres Shava. Ksiv Hacha, it says by the Malach Gavriel telling Daniel in Zman HaGolos, V'higbir Bris L'Rab M'Shavua Echad, Uksiv Hasam, and by the Tochacha it says, V'omer L'Sharaz V'es Bris Hashem Elukei Avosam. So the Azivus HaBris, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, caused the enemies to overpower the land, and the Churban Aretz, which lasted for 7 years. So you see that the words Ad Hayom Hazeh don't really mean forever, because we describe Binyamin and the Yevusi in Yerushalayim Ad Hayom Hazeh, and that was most certainly not forever. So how can Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say that he knows that the Aron was Nignaz b'Mekomo because it's supposed to be there Ad Hayom Hazeh? Ad Hayom Hazeh doesn't necessarily mean Ad Hayom Hazeh. So Amalei, so Ula responded, Hacha Ksiv Sham. By the Badei Aron it says, Ve'yusham Ad Hayom Hazeh. Hasam by the Bnei Binyamin lo ksiv sham. It just says Ad Hayom Hazeh. So it could be that the Yevusi were together with Bnei Binyamin, but not sham, not in Yerushalayim. Meaning, maybe, yeah, Eretz Yisrael was emptied out, Yerushalayim was emptied out, Yevusi's not there, Binyamin's not there. Wherever the Yevusi went, that's where Binyamin went also. So that's all it means, that Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Yevusi and Binyamin are together, but not that they're in Yerushalayim Ad Hayom Hazeh. But when it comes to the Badei Aron, that's described sham Ad Hayom Hazeh. V'kalecha d'chsiv sham. But even so, when it says Sham right before the phrase Ad Hayom Hazeh, that necessarily means it's forever. Meisei, I'll ask you a question. Umehem b'nei Shimon holchu lahar Seir anoshim chamesh meos uplatya na'aryo rufaya v'uziel b'nei Yishi b'rosham v'yakwa sheir saplet ala malik v'yeshu sham Ad Hayom Hazeh. So it's describing the nations being Amalek, in particular, being Shom Ad Hayom Hazeh. But Kvar Ol Sancheriv Melech Asher Bilbo Kol Haratzos. We know that Sancheriv Melech Asher already exiled everyone into different lands. Shnemer Va'asir Gvulos Amim Va'asir Seim Shoseisi. That Sancheriv was bragging that he changed all the borders of all the lands, and he sent all of the nations into exile, and he took all of their treasures. So you can't say that the Bnei Shimon are Ad Hayom Hazeh in Har Seir, because certainly Sancheriv had exiled them from their location. So you see that even when it says Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh, it doesn't literally mean that someone is Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh. So says Maria Tiyufta, that's a kasha on Ula within his understanding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he thought that the basis of the idea that the Raya, that the Aron was Nigdas B'Mekomos, that it says Ve'yu Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh, doesn't seem that that's a good Raya, because we do find the phrase Sham Ad Hayom Hazeh not to be taken literally, that it's been an undisturbed stay throughout all of the generations. And apparently that's not the case, as we see when we describe the locations of different people. We know that they didn't stay in the same place, because Sancheriv was Mevalbel Kalu Umos. So all of the people that we think, you know, people who live in whatever country they live in, are not the natives of that country once Sancheriv came and was Mevalbel Kalu Umos. That's why the mitzvah to destroy the Zayin Amnim, the seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, that the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, because we don't know the mass. Sancheriv was mevalbel everything. We don't know who's who. That's the Rav Salvechik was, I think it was Shema's grandfather, was medayik, that the Rambam doesn't say that about Amalek, when he describes the mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and he doesn't say, but also Sancheriv v'bilbel kol ha'umos, and therefore there's no longer a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, because we don't know who Amalek is. So that's Rav Salvechik said, I think in the name of his grandfather, in the name of Reb Chaim, that you see that Amalek is not necessarily defined by genealogy, that Amalek is defined by a shita. Amalek is defined by Ashkafa, and any non-God-fearing nation, that it has to be that they don't believe in God. So you can't say like the Muslims or anyone, any non-God-fearing nation that who makes it their goal to destroy the Jewish people, that is Amalek, even if they're not connected necessarily. Here, Rav Soloveitchik actually held halacha lemaisa that the Nazis were Amalek. He held that you weren't, and it was a chumrah that you weren't allowed to take money from them because they're Amalek. It's even l'shitaso, it's a strange chumrah because it's not money from them; it's getting paid back our money. But nevertheless, that was his shita lahalacha. So Amram Nachman Tanav Chama Amrim Aron belishchas dira etzim hayaganos. The Aron was hidden in the lishchas dira etzim, meaning if it was hidden on premises, the place that it was hidden was underground from the lishchas dira etzim. Amram Nachman Yitzchak and Nami Tanina. Well, we have a Mishnah that supports that. Maisa b'koyin echad shayu misasik. There was once a coin that was doing whatever he was doing in the Beis Hamikdash. V'ra ritz b'mishum l'chavrasa, and he saw that there was a floor tile that was different than the others. Ubavlo dias chaveru. So he went to tell somebody else. Lo hispik ligmar sedavri yachias. And before he got to share the news, his neshama was taken from him. And therefore, they knew for sure Sham Arun Ganus, that that's where the Arun must have been hidden, and that information was not meant to be revealed. Mayava Avid, what was he busy doing when he discovered this? Sam Rabbi Chal Masachsek Pekardumohaya. He was dealing with his axe because so that's how we know that it was Lushchas Dira Eitzim where they're chopping the wood. There were two Kohanim who were Bali Mumin and therefore were not eligible to do the avoda, so they couldn't be doing the karbanos, so they were deworming the wood in the lishchas dira etzim. V'nishmata kardumah shalechem, and one of them dropped their axe. V'naflasham v'yatsa esh v'achalto, and it landed on the place where the arun was ganus, and a fire came out and consumed the axe that he had dropped. So we see the support for the idea that that's where the Aron is located. That's by the Lishchas Dira Eitzim. Rabbi Yehuda Rami. Rabbi Yehuda asked the following stira. Ksiv, Pasuk says, Ve'ira Rashi Abadim, that the Rashi Abadim were able to be seen from the Kodesh. Pasuk says, Min HaKodesh. Uksiv, and the Pasuk also says, V'lo Yira V'chutza, that you couldn't see anything from outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So HaKetzad, Nirin Ve'in Nirin, that the Abadim protruded through, that you're able to see that they're there, but you didn't see them exposed. They protruded through the curtain. So Tani Nam Yachvi Rosh Abadim Yachlo Yehu Zazin Mimkoman. You might think that the Badim didn't move at all. They stayed exactly in the same spot in the Taba'os, in the rings on the side of the Aron. Tamalomar Vayarichu Abadim. That's why the pasuk says Vayarichu Abadim, meaning that they moved the Badim, not remove them from the Taba'os. They had to stay in the rings on the side of the Aron, but they pushed them forward so that there were more of the Badim was facing toward the Kodesh than was it wasn't evenly spaced on the Aron. So Yachal Yu Makarim B'Prochus V'Yotzin. You might think that the Badim peeked through two holes in the Prochus. Maybe they made two holes in the Prochus so that the Badim could go right through and you'd see the Badim sticking out of the Prochus. Tam Lomar V'Lo Yerau Achutza. No, you cannot see the actual Badim from outside. So okay, so how is it that you're able to see them but you didn't see them exactly? So Dochin Abolten V'Yotzin B'Prochus. You saw the protrusions of two Badim from the Parochas. The Parochas is a soft curtain, so the Badim would stick through the Parochas. And Vinir and Kishne Dadei Isha. And it would give the appearance similar to when a woman is dressed. You can see that she has two breasts because her clothing protrudes out in that area. But you don't actually see what's underneath the clothing, you just see the protrusion. So too over here, you see the protrusion of the Badim from the Parochas. The Ben Yoyada says that that's Dafka the imagery. It seems like a strange imagery. You could have said like a pot belly of a man, right? Why do you have to say Kishne Dade Isha when we're describing the Badei Ha'aron? So the Ben Yoyada explains that just like a child is always interested in being Yonek, he's always interested in nursing from his mother, so too that should be our attitude toward Torah. That we're always interested in nursing more Torah and being able to receive more Torah, and we should view that as our life source to be able to get more Torah. So, Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Soramar dodili bein shaday yalin." That the lashon of bein shaday yalin is the imagery of the dadei isha. Amar of Ketina, b'shasha yisol olin l'regel. When Klal Yisol be olin l'regel, megalin lenas a parochas, maran them as a kruvim. They'd roll up the parochas and show them the kruvim, shayim u'urim zebezeh, to show that the kruvim were hugging each other. Va'omim lehen ru'uchi baskum l'fnei amakom kichi bazachar in a keva. That this is representative of the relationship that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael, like the love of a zachar in a keva have for each other. So they're in a total embrace. That's how we should feel that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is embracing us. in Gvuras Arid, Shagasari says, how could they go in to roll up the parochas? You're not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim Shalol Tzorach HaVoda. It's a violation of Al Yavu B'Cholei Salah Kodesh. So in the Sefer Ein Yisrael, he says, based on the Mishnah Lemelech, Mishnah Lemelech writes in the third paragraph of Bias Mikdash, that anyone who goes into the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Litzorach HaVoda, when they finish their Avoda, they're allowed to stay. It's not a violation of Al Yavu B'Cholei Salah Kodesh, meaning, Al Yavu B'Cholei Salah Kodesh does not mean do not be there, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. It means do not go there, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. But if you've already gone for the sake of Avoda, you may stay there, Shalom B'Shas Avoda. So it must be that that's what happened. That the Kohanim would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would be nichnas to the Heichal to do the Avodah, not to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but to the Kodesh, to the Heichal, to do the Avodah Samenorah or the Ketores, and when they were there, they could stay there as long as they wanted, and therefore they could roll up the parochas for the Olei Regalim, so that the Olei Regalim would be able to see. Not the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but the Kodesh, because no one went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim except for Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, but even into the Heichal, you're not allowed to go and be a Reikonis. But when they went to do the menorah and the Ketores and everything else, that they would do, they would also roll up the parochas to show Klal Yisrael. So Masav Rav Chista v'lo yavo'u liros kevales hakodesh v'am Rav Yudah Merav. What does the pasuk mean that the Levim were not allowed to enter the Mishkan b'shas achnas kelim lenartik shalahem, at the time that the kelim were being packed away, meaning the Kohanim were putting the kelim in their protective coverings, and the Levim were not allowed to see that because they weren't allowed to see the Aron. So even though the Levim were the ones carrying the kelim, but that's only when they were in their protective cases. So how is it that they were able to show the Kruvim for all the Olei Regalim throughout the Tkufas Beis HaMikdash? In the Midbar, even the Levim who carried them weren't allowed to see them. When they were being packed up, the Levim weren't allowed to see. So Rav Nachman Moshe LeKala. So it's like a Kala. Calls Manshi Beveis Avia Tsunua Mibayla. When she's still not fully married, she's still living in her father's house, meaning just Erisin, no Nisuin yet, so she's still very Tsunua from her husband. But Kivin Shabasa Leveis Chamiya, once she has Nisuin and she moves in with her husband, ain't it Tsunua Mibayla? She's no longer embarrassed in her husband. She makes herself very comfortable. So too, the Zmana Mishkan was like the Erisin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Klal Yisrael. So there had to be a certain amount of tznius. We weren't allowed to see the Kruvim. We weren't allowed to see the Aron. Even the Levim were not allowed to see the Aron. Once we had a Beis HaMikdash, that's where we had Nisuin with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Once we have Nisuin, then we're allowed to see the Aron. Then that level of tznius is not required anymore. So Masr of Chanabar of Katina, Maisim Koinecha Shem Esasek. But didn't we mention the Mishnah and Shkalim of the Kohen that saw the tile that was not like the others, and he went to tell somebody else, and then he died because they couldn't be known where the Aron was? So that was during the Tkufas Beis HaMikdash. Why couldn't we know where the Aron is during the Tkufas Beis HaMikdash? What would be so bad if we found it? So you're allowed to see the Aron during the Tkufas Beis HaMikdash. That's Nisuin. So I'm laying the Skar Shekhamet. That was Bayesheni. Bayesheni is after the Gerushin. The Gerushin was Gullus Bavel. So we were a Grusha. Nisgarisha chazul chibas arishona. That when we're in Nisgarish, so then we go back to the status of Erisin. Wait, no, Gerushin is not the status of Erisin. Gerushin destroys Erisin also. Yeah, but we were in Nisgarish, and then we had Bayesheni. So Bayesheni brings us back, but not all the way back. Right, Bayesheni brought us back to that status of Erisin, where we still had to have that tznius, but it was at least better than being a total Gerushin. So b'mayaskinan. So what was Rav Katina talking about when he said they would roll up the parochas? Meaning, which Beis HaMikdash was it where they would roll up the parochas so that everyone could see the crew hugging each other? In Mikdash Rishon, if we're talking about Mikdash Rishon, miyavai parochas Mikdash Rishon, there was a wall. There was an amatraxin. There was no parochas. So elab mikdasheni. Must be that it's talking about mikdasheni. But wait, we have a kruvim? By the mikdasheni, they can't roll up the parochas for us to see the kruvim because there were no kruvim. There was no aron there in mikdasheni. What would we be looking at? We'd be looking at an empty room. So the olah mikdash rishon. Must be that it's talking about mikdash rishon. Umay parochas. What does it mean when it says which parochas was Rav Katina talking about that they would roll up parochas to bavi? Even when they had an amatraxin, had a wall, you can't walk through a wall. Right, so how did the Kohen Gadol go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There was an entranceway, and that entranceway had a parochas. Shabbos. So they would roll up that parochah so that people could see through the entranceway. In Mikdash Sheni, there were 13 parochas. There were 13 curtains. Shiva keneged Shiva Sha'arim. 7 for the 7 gates of the Azara. Shtayim achas l'pischo shel heichal v'achas l'pischo shel ulam. Another 2, 1 for the Pesach of the Heichal, another for the Pesach of the Ulam. Shtayim b'dvir. There were 2 in the wall that was separated between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal that were in Amma. Ushtayim connected by Aliyah, and 2 additional parochos by the Dvir that were by Aliyah, that were on the higher part between the Aliyah Seichel and the Aliyah Kodesh HaKadoshim. So even though Rav was talking about the Mikdash Sheni, but nevertheless, just like in Mikdash Sheni, there were so many different parochos, including by the entranceways, so too by Mikdash Rishon, when they didn't have a parocha separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they had a wall there, but there must have been an entranceway, and wherever there's an entranceway, there's a parocha. So you could assume that there was a parocha covering the doorway in the Amatraxin, and that's what they rolled up. Another possible answer, again, the question was, how could it be that they would roll up a parochas in order to get a glimpse of the Kruvim? In Mikdash Rishon, there was no parochas. In Mikdash Sheni, there was no Kruvim. So answer number 1 was that it was Mikdash Rishon, and there was a parochas in Mikdash Rishon. It was just a parochas that went for the doorway that went from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Li Olam B'Mikdash Sheni. No, we're talking about Mikdash Sheni. U'Kruvim D'Tzurta Havu Kaimi. And even though the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made were not there, and the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made were not there, but nevertheless, there were Kruvim that were engraved on the walls, just like they were in Mikdash Rishon. Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says in describing Mikdash Rishon, the Eis Kol Kiros Habayis, Meisav Kala, Kruvim V'Tumoros P'Turei Tzitzim, that he made these nice images engraved on the wall of different things, of Kruvim and palm trees, and flowers. Uksiv, and the pasuk says v'tzipa zahav miyushar ala machuka, that these tzuros were covered in gold and over the chakika, over where it was engraved. Uksiv, and the pasuk says about making the kanim for the kiorim. Pasuk says kima'ar ish veloyos, that they made engravings on the kanei kiorim, also the tzuros of kruvim and arayos and ilanos and things like that. So it's what did they see when they were showing the Olei Regalim? Not the actual kruvim. It was images of kruvim that were engraved that started hugging each other. The whole thing is obviously a miracle. It's a miracle when it's actual physical kruvim also, but it's like images on a wall that are all of a sudden hugging each other. That's what they showed them. So says Gemara, "My kema'ar ish v'loyos." What does that pasuk mean? So Rabbi Rav Shila explains that the pasuk is referring to ki'ish hama'ara b'levayishalo. It's like a husband who's hugging his wife in his arms and he's connected to her. So that's the way the kruvim appeared, that they were fully connected to each other, that they were embracing each other. So Amrei Shlakish b'shoshin nichnasu nachrim lahechal, when the nachrim broke into the hechal in the korban. They saw that the Kruvim were hugging each other, and they brought them out into the Shuk. These Jewish people, where their bracha is a binding bracha, their klala is a binding klala. And nevertheless, this is what they're involved in. They're involved in taivas and divrei cheshek, things like this, of an image of a man and a woman hugging each other. So miyadi zilum. He started to be mezalzel them, shnemar, kol mechabdei zilua kiro u'ervasa, that which honors the Jewish people, they were mezalzel in when they saw the kruvim that were hugging each other. So it's interesting, why were they hugging each other? The Rishonim already raised the question that the Gemara said that they showed them the kruvim mu'urim zebzat to show chibaschem. The Gemara Mesachs Babasu explains that when we say about the kruvim pneim ish alachiv, that's only when we're osin ritzon shalmakam. But be'es achur ben lechor, we're not osin ritzon shalmakam, meaning the kruvim react to our relationship with the Ribbono Shalom. So when the Ribbono Shalom feels very close to us, the Kruvim indicate that by their closeness to each other. When the Ribbono Shalom does not feel close to us, the Kruvim indicate that. So Vashas Churban, why Taka, were they hugging each other? They shouldn't have been hugging each other at that time. So the Ritva suggests, in the name of the Re'eim, that even Vashas Churban, the Kruvim were hugging each other, that was B'nais. but it was a neis l'ra'a to be megala ervasa. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it even worse for us by making the kruvim hugging each other, but that was not the norm. The Shittim Kupetzas has a different answer, the name of the Rimigash, that when the Nachrim entered into the Heichal, it was showing the Nachrim how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Klal Yisrael. Meaning for us, we needed to see, when we're watching, we should see whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with us or not. But Klapi the Nachrim, they should always see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has a special chiba for the Jewish people. In the Shem Yishmuel and Dvarim, he says that the tzaros of the Churban were mechaper for the Averos. So that's Dafka, at a time of Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that now everything is, that now his relationship with us is repaired. And that's why he's going to show this imagery of the Kruv mugging each other, because we just got the kapara that we needed for all of the Averos. It's also interesting that the thing that they highlighted was that these Jewish people, Sheber Chasan Bracha Ukil Lasan Klala, that we have the Koach of Bracha and the Koach of Klala, because the Pasuk says, Arecha Arur Mvarecha Baruch. So there is a statement that Chazal have in a number of places that a Birchas Hedyot should not be Kala Be'enecha, that a person should take a Birchas Hedyot seriously. So the Pnei Yeshua writes in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chav Zayin, that means that if a Hedyot gives you a Bracha, you shouldn't disregard it. It does not mean that a Hedyot should run around giving Brachos. Meaning Pnei Yeshua says, meaning if you're a Hedyot, don't go to every Rosh Yeshiva and Rebbe that you meet and say, I give you a Bracha. You shouldn't be the one giving Brachos. That should be for big people. But if you receive a Bracha from a small person, you shouldn't take it lightly. The Mitziv says in Merome Sada that Birchas Hedyot, that Alte Birchas Hedyot Kal Beinecha means that it's talking about the Bracha of Goyim, like Arvana Hayavusi and Dar Yavesh, because that's what the Gemara says. Those are the examples the Gemara gives. It says, but by a Bracha of Yisrael, it's not even Shaykh the phrase Birchas Hedyot. It doesn't make sense. There's no such thing as a Birchas Hedyot by a Bracha of Yisrael. Why is there no such thing as a Birchas Hedyot? She Birchasan Bracha Vikilasan Klala. The Nachrim knew that the Bracha of any Jew is a Bracha, the Klala of any Jew is a Klala. So that's how the Netziv writes in Merom Esada, that the whole concept of Birchas Hedyot, the Netziv writes in his commentary to Megillah, the whole concept of Birchas Hedyot doesn't apply to Klal Yisrael, it only applies to the Umos Ha'olam. And that's where I'll take Kala Beinecha. But for sure, a Bracha of the Yisrael is never even called, it doesn't even get to that Madrega, to be that low Madrega, to be called a Birchas Hedyot. So says Gemara Vaitinel, V'shtia Haisen Nikreis. This Evan that was there from the times of the Rebbeim Rishonim was called Shesia. So Tana Shemenu Hush Sasa Olam, because that's where the world, that was the Yisod, the foundation of the world. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, and Pirkei Avos explains, because this is the Makom of the Avoda, and it's one of the three Yisodos Olam. In the first parak of Pirkei Avos, we're told that the three Yisodos Olam, Torah, Avoda, so this is the Makam Avoda, and therefore it's a Yesod Ha'olam, it's a foundation of the world. Tanan Kamandi Amar Mitzion Nivra Olam. Our Mishnah seems to be assuming that the world was created from Yerushalayim, that everything emanated from there. So the Gemara brings a brisa where there's a machlokas tanaim, where the beginning of the Bria happened, and we're going to find this idea that it started with Tzion. That's one of the shitos we're going to quote. Titania Rablazar Omer, Olameyam Tziiso Nivra, that the world was created from its center. Shinamar, because when Kosh Baruch describes Bria Sa'olam, in Sefer Eov, it describes Bitsekes Ofer Lamutzak, Urugavim Yudu Baku, that the Bria Sa'olam, when I poured the particles of dirt to make a single unit in the middle of the world, I attached these pieces of dirt around it until it spread on all sides. So you see that it started in the center and everything was just sprouted out from there. Everything went out from there. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ola Minat Stadim Nivra. Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created Minat Stadim, from the sides, and built inward. Shnemer Ki Lashal Yomer Havei Eretz V'Gesha Matar V'Gesha Mitros Uzo. That Hashem said that the Shalag should make the world from the Shelag. So that happens on the sides, apparently. That Kadosh Baruch Hu brings Geshem from one side, Mutter from the other side, Geshem from the third side, and Mitros Uzo from the fourth side, and they are Magshim the Shelag, and that comes together as Aretz. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Evan Yara Kadosh Baruch Hu Bayam, Kadosh Baruch Hu threw a rock into the sea, Mimenu Nishtei Sa'olam, and that's, so that became the Yisod of the world. Shenemar, Alma Adonai Tabu, O Mi Yara Evan Pinasa. that what were the yesodos of the earth built on, and who threw the first even that the earth was built on into the water. So you see that it started from an even that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw into the water. V'chamomrim, and this is the reason we're quoting all this, mitzion nivra, that it was created from Tzion, shnemer mizmer la'asaf, kel elokim Hashem, that va'omer, and the pasuk says, mitzion mechlal yofi, that from the place called, from place that's called Tzion, that's where the Eretz came out from, all the beauty of the world came from. Mimenu muchlal yofyo shel olam. It's from there that the yofyo shel olam emerged. It all started from Tzion. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, Elisha is going to give the shir tomorrow and Sunday. I'm not going to be here tomorrow and Sunday. So Be'ez Hashem, Elisha will pick up from there, from Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, tomorrow. Have a great day and a great Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
Have a great
Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you, Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Take care.